out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I'm often reminded when I hear that word of just what that moment will be like when all of creation says those words together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, as we open your word together, Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts? We've been talking about the Beatitudes and wanting to be blessed. We go through life wanting to be blessed by you, and there in your word you show us ways that we can be in the place of blessing. And I pray, Father, that as we look again into what it means to be transformed by your word and to be, Lord, would you cause us to see and seek more of you. Fill us with your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure everyone has heard of Lady Astor. No? How disappointing. Well, maybe you'd know the name Winston Churchill. A little bit more? Okay. Well, Lady Astor and Winston Churchill were not friends. They were both in the House of Commons. One of the things about Lady Astor was she was actually born in the United States, moved over to Britain, and she was the first woman that was elected into the House of Commons. Now, if that were to happen today, we would celebrate it as a nation. Everyone would be like, "That's great! You know, this is a new step in our government, in our democracy, and all of that." But in that time, that was not such it wasn't very popular thing, and especially with Winston Churchill. He seemed to have something, a lot of resentment against her, and that it kind of boiled back and forth, and these two were known to kind of go at each other. And as a matter of fact, Lady Astor did not like a lot of the things that Winston Churchill did. She opposed him on a lot of things, and it would get pretty heated even in the meetings in the House of Commons. And one day, while they were there, it was quoted that Lady Astor said to Winston Churchill, "If you were my husband, I would put poison in your coffee." To which Churchill responded, "If you were my wife, I would drink it." Conflict is a normal part of life. It just seems no matter what, there is going to be conflict. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I've read was that in the written history of all the written history that we have, the thousands of years of written history, there have only been approximately 285 or so years of peace in the world. Can you imagine that? That's all that we've... Over 8,000 treaties have been signed and broken. Not held up. One person was said to quote this way, "Peace is only a moment in time where everybody stops to reload." Because it just seems like life is about conflict. And one of the things that we talk a lot about is peace. We want to find peace. How do we do this? We try to find this experience everywhere we go. But what is it that we are seeking after? Understand that conflict and this lack of peace goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? That's where it started. Adam and Eve were in the garden. God had given them this beautiful place, and Adam and Eve sinned by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so all of a sudden, here's what happens. God comes and he goes, "Did you do this?" And notice, I love this story because we see our natural inclination. What does Adam do? Adam immediately goes into the blame game. And he blames God. "God, the woman that you gave to me made me do this." So he doesn't even... I mean, he's like third in responsibility here. "God, you're the worst. Then Eve. Then I'm down here." You know, conflict began in the garden. It goes on and on all the way into today. So today we want to look at the next beatitude, and actually we're going to wrap up the beatitudes today with this one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. We're going to actually read verses 9 through 12 to start with, because we're going to be looking at the blessed are the peacemakers, and this is what it says: blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, we're going to call this our last one, but as you look at Scripture, you see, well, there's more to follow. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I'm going to tie in a little bit of the persecution this morning, but understand, when you look at the Beatitudes, the previous Beatitudes, including the one that we're going to look at today, blessed are the peacemakers, they are things in which we do in our life. The last Beatitude, where he says, blessed are those who are persecuted, is a result of all of those previous ones. As we live the Beatitudes, the first Beatitudes that we've talked about, poor in spirit, mourn, meek, hunger and thirst, merciful, pure in heart, as we live those things, the world isn't going to like it, and the result is going to be persecution. But the first ones are choices that we make. You and I don't choose to go out. We don't just say, you know what, I'm going to go out today and be persecuted. But you know what, we can go out and say, I'm going to be a peacemaker today. I'm going to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So when we look at these different aspects of what it is, we look to see, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Now, in the last couple of weeks, what we've looked at is we've said, now, what is it? And what do we get out of this? But I want to start out by asking a different question this morning for the first one. And that is, what is the goal? What is the goal? He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. What is the goal? Well, oftentimes what we look at is the goal is to find peace. What is peace? Peace is the absence of conflict, or at least that's what we say. But understand what Jesus is not saying. He is not saying, blessed are those who are at peace, or blessed are those who have peace. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. There's a difference here. So what is the goal? What is a peacemaker? Well, for that, we have to do one of those deals where we look at the root word that is there, peacemaker in the original language. Now, the word that is used there is ireneopoios, okay? Now, that word is broken into two words, two smaller words. The first one being irene. Irene means harmony, tranquility, safety, or welfare. That's what the first part of it. Now, the poeo, the second word, it means to make, practice, or produce. So right there within that word, ireneopoios, it's basically this point of saying a peacemaker is the person who goes out and tries to make harmony and unity, to produce harmony and unity. It's not just to be at, we're going to talk a little bit more of it, but it is to take action towards establishing a resolution to conflict. The person who is a mediator, an arbitrator in a scenario. Hebrews 12, verse 14, Paul says this. He says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Make every effort. So here we see the point. It takes effort to be a peacemaker. It takes work. It's not just simply about making it so that I'm not at conflict, but actually peacemakers, we'll talk about it in just a moment, is that it deals with others as well. How we're involved in that. Psalm 34, 12 through 14. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So here again we see, seek peace, pursue it. clearly shows that a peacemaker is one who is actively pursuing harmony, tranquility of relationship, and welfare of all involved in the situation. It's not simply hiding one's head in the sand to avoid conflict. I think sometimes what we see is it's like, well, you know, that person's a pretty peacemaking person because I never see them in conflict. Understand that a peacemaker may be spending a lot of time in conflict, not on their own, but what they're doing is they're interjecting themselves into conflict for the purpose of bringing about resolution, bringing about tranquility, harmony, and unity. So when we answer the question, what is the goal of the peacemaker? The goal of the peacemaker is one who engages in conflict for the purpose of bringing resolution to the conflict, thereby establishing harmony between two previously conflicting groups. Now, you all wrote that down really fast, didn't you? Listen to it again. The goal of a peacemaker is one who engages in the conflict for the purpose of bringing resolution to the conflict, thereby establishing harmony between two previously conflicting groups. That's the goal. In other words, I interject myself into it so that I can help bring resolution to bring the two conflicting parties together. Now, when we understand what that is, we can move forward. And we begin to looking at what are the characteristics of a peacemaker? What makes a person a peacemaker? Understanding that it's not just walking up to somebody and going, you know what, you two, you're in conflict. Stop it. That's not a peacemaker. There are marks of a peacemaker, or characteristics of a peacemaker. Really, when you consider, a peacemaker is a bridge builder. That's kind of what they're doing. They're an architect building a bridge so that two people can come together and they can be unified once again. But there are four markers that make a person a peacemaker. The first marker of it is that they are at peace with God themselves. Understand that you cannot be a peacemaker outside of that if you are not at peace with God. As a matter of fact, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read this, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. And so when you look at this, here's what it says, the fruit of the Spirit. So when we are one with the Spirit, when we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, we have peace. It sounds rather simple, but to put it sometimes into everyday life, it can be a little bit harder. Do I have peace in my life? You know, one of the things that we can ask is if I find that I am living in this conflicted place, oftentimes the first place that we should look at is our relationship with God. How are we doing in our relationship with God? Now, understand this. Being at peace with God does not mean that I am living excited about what everything is happening in my life. Sometimes what we do is we go, I don't like what's going on, therefore God is the one to blame, I don't get it. But knowing what it means to be at peace with God is to be able to say, God, in the valleys, it is your will, not my will, and I am okay with what you're trying to do in the middle of this storm. Because you understand, we think that peace is the absence of the storm. Peace is the presence of God. So if I'm to be a peacemaker, I need to be at peace with God. I can't be in conflict with God and help anybody. So a peacemaker is at peace with God. The second mark is that a peacemaker helps others be at peace with God. It's the same principle, the same idea. I can't be at peace with anybody if I'm not at peace with God. Therefore, you can't be at peace with anybody if you're not at peace with God. One of the greatest places to start, when you have conflict, understand that every conflict, there is an opportunity to bring glory to God. Every conflict has that. And so what we do is we come to them and we simply say, here's where the point is. How can we glorify God in the midst of this conflict? You need to be at peace with God before we can fix anything else. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, we read that passage, and oftentimes we jump to the very first part of it, don't we? We jump to the, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We're out there, and part of the job of an ambassador is to be a peacemaker. But notice what he says. If we're going to be an ambassador for God, if we're going to be out there bringing peace to the world, we need to start in one place. Be reconciled to God. Here, Paul is playing the peacemaker. Folks, you need to be reconciled to God. You can't do all of this other stuff if you're not in step and in tune with God. And sometimes that's the first place that we need to do when we're working with peacemaking, when we're helping others to resolve that conflict and bring harmony, is to say, where are you at with Jesus today? Because a lot of times conflict occurs because we're in a bad place with Christ. So, peacemaker, peace with God themselves, they help others to be at peace with God. Peacemaker is at peace with others themselves. That's the third one. The third mark is, as a peacemaker, I'm at peace with other people. Again, I can't enter into conflict resolution with other people if I'm in conflict with people myself. It kind of doesn't work well that way. So he says, you know, this is what we need to do. When you are living as a peacemaker, do what you can to be at peace with others. Romans 12:18, that's exactly what Paul says. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now let's take a little look at this. Because this verse at times has been used out of context or has been used wrong. As far as it is possible with me, live at peace. You know what? I've done everything that I can, therefore I don't need to live at peace with them anymore. You know, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture doesn't say, I do a little bit, and then if they don't change, then all of a sudden it's okay. I can now just hate on them all I want. I can live in conflict. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, as far as it is possible, and it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So therefore, I have to always do my part to live at peace, even if conflict is not being resolved. We just finished our small group this last week on love and respect. And I love this curriculum because it points to something that's really important. Conflict often arises because we don't get what we want. We realize that, right? I want something, I don't get it. That's what James says. I want something, I don't get it. Therefore, I start fighting, I start conflict. When that's not given to me, then I go on and we fight, we war, we battle. In love and respect, one of the things that they say is within a context of a marriage, and he says, the core needs of a man is respect, the core need of a woman is love. And what has happened is in our culture, we find that we get on this crazy cycle. And the crazy cycle says, without love, she reacts without respect, he reacts without love. Now, if you understand what that's saying is, when someone does something that I don't like, my initial reaction is to respond in an unloving or a disrespectful way. I don't necessarily turn around and go, wow, you were just mean to me. What can I do to love on you? That's not our natural inclination. As a matter of fact, we find that we tend to say that I'm going to do something that hurts you in order to motivate you to be nicer to me. I mean, our thinking goes way off track sometimes, doesn't it? But we tend to do that. I mean, you think about it. What happens? Someone says something to you. What do you do? You look at them and go, I love you. No. Our tendency is if someone says something that hurts us, we look at them, we snort a little bit, and we walk away. And they might want to talk to us, and you're like, I'm not talking to you. You're quiet. You're in a marriage. You're in your relationship. You're at home. Your wife or your husband says something to you. What do? You give them the cold shoulder, right? Because in our mind, we have this idea of, you know what? If I show them how much they hurt me, then they're going to change. And that's not what happens because we get on the crazy cycle. And we just find that we perpetuate hurting one another over and over and over and over again until what's happening today in our culture is we're getting to the place where we're saying, I can't take it anymore. I'm concerned about our marriages. I can tell you this, one of the things that we do regularly as elders, regularly as staff, is we pray for the marriages of everyone in our church. That God would anoint our marriages, because we know that this is one of the areas that Satan is attacking today. Why? Because as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Do what you can to be at peace. As far as I can make my part. So a peacemaker is one who comes in and is not in conflict with others. If I'm living in conflict with my wife every day, I can't be a peacemaker. The fourth mark of the peacemaker is this. The peacemaker helps others to be at peace with others. So not only is it just my responsibility as a peacemaker, it's not just me. I want to make sure that my relationships are all in good standing. It's actually a peacemaker interjects themselves into a conflict between two people and says, I'm here to help you to resolve this conflict and be at harmony with one another. I came across 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 6. Look at the words that Paul says. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know you will judge the angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned by the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there's nobody among you wise enough to judge disputes between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of believers. I mean, you see here that he's not happy. He's kind of letting them have it. He's like, come on, people. Don't you even see what's going on here? You guys have conflict, and what you're doing is you're running to the judge, who is a worldly judge, and you're saying, arbitrate between us, mediate between us, tell us how we should do it. And he goes, is the church so empty that there's not even a person in the church who can bring you back to one in harmony? Last week, our elders stood before you. I believe that our elders are men of God that God has laid His hand upon. We pray for wisdom. And one of the things that we just lay before God is simply this, God, use us. If there is conflict, let us be involved in that conflict so that we can bring the godly advice. But you know what happens is this, we don't like godly advice, do we? We really don't. I mean, you sit down and you're like, you know, this is what's happening. So-and-so did this to me, and they did this to me, and this. And all of a sudden they look at you and they'll ask you a question about how your part has been in it. Or, you know what? The Bible says that you need to turn the other cheek. You know what? When they take something from you, the Bible says that you should give them more. Have you prayed for them? And all of a sudden you walk out and you're like, well, I walked in thinking I was going to, you know, roast this other person, and now I'm walking out feeling all convicted. And we don't like that, do we? As a matter of fact, I've had times where I've sat in meetings and there have been individuals that have come and they come in with this understanding. They're like, I am so angry, I'm so mad, this relationship is broken down, this is what this person did, and they did this, and this. And you know what, I went to my friends and they all said, I don't deserve this, I deserve to be happy, I'm done. Oh, and they're the experts. No. You see, a peacemaker is one who is willing to interject it, and understand that a peacemaker is not interjected to make where it's like, now you guys just play nice. What it is it's to bring God into the situation so that God can be glorified and so that the relationship can be in unity. Why? It's not for the purpose of themselves. We often think, well, it's so that I'll be happy and I'll be at peace. No. I mean, that may be the result, but not necessarily. But the result is because then we, exemplify God. And as we look at this, is the point that he gets to. He goes, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are at peace with God. Blessed are those who help others be at peace with God. Blessed are those who are at peace with others and help others to be at peace with them. Because, why? They will be called children of God. They will be called children of God. And this is such an interesting point to be looking at, because the question that we always ask is why? Why do we do this? Why are we peacemakers? Why should we make things happen? Well, blessed are those who are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now understand, most of us go, well, why doesn't it say blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be at peace? All you have to do is read the very next verse. Blessed are those who are what? Persecuted. Because God understands that being a peacemaker in this world, in this time, with the sin curse, all of that, we are never going to have peace, the absence of conflict, until Christ returns. And he jumps right into it and he says, hey, by the way, blessed are the peacemakers, who usually be called sons of children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have those times where you're wondering. But he says, this is the blessing of it, is that you will be called children of God. And I like this one. Because here's what it brings to us. There's two parts to it. To be called a child of God brings into this picture that I will be like God. I will resemble God. Not I will be a God. I will resemble God. I will look like my father. You know, it's funny because kids, as they're growing up, you look at them and you're like, you're just like your dad. Right? What do they do? Ew, gross. You know? And I always love it because it's like you tell me, you're like, oh, you're just like your mom or your dad. And they're like, that's disgusting. I don't want to be anything like them. And the very next thing that they do is the exact thing. It's like exactly what mom or dad would do, right? And you're like, eh, that's exactly why. We resemble our parents. We're like them. We have their mannerisms. In some cases, its son looks just like his dad, or a daughter may look just like her mother. We resemble them. We are a reflection of them. And when Jesus says, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, it means that we will reflect Jesus in our life. And look at what that means, Isaiah 9:6. One of those passages that we often bring up at Christmas. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. Now, that shows us something. If I am to be a peacemaker, I am going to reflect the Prince of Peace wherever I go. People are going to see Jesus in me. But the second part of that is, we'll be chosen. We'll reflect our Father. We'll be chosen by our Father. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As chosen ones of God, the heart of God is the unity of the believers. So here he goes. He goes, you know what? I want you to be peacemakers. Why? Not because there's going to be absence of conflict, but because I want you to reflect Jesus to a world that needs Jesus desperately, and you show the world that you are chosen by being united with one another. Let me ask you this question. Why would anybody want to be a Christian today? Have you ever considered that? Why would anybody want to be a Christian today? And we look at it and we go, well, because the Bible says that if you're not a Christian, you don't go to heaven, right? Well, that's true. If I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my eternal destiny is there. But as they look at us as Christians, are we giving them a reason to want to be a Christian? You see, that's what he's saying. If you are a peacemaker, if you are injecting yourself into this world in such a way that you are bringing resolution, harmony, tranquility in relationship, and unity of heart, what you are doing is you are putting out there an example that people want to look at and go, I want that. How come you are that way? And you know what? That opens up the story. Let me tell you why. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let me ask you this as we close. Are you at conflict with anyone right now? This is a hard question because our mind naturally goes to, well, it's their fault. The Adam inside of us goes, God, the person that you gave to me, they're the one who made. Are you at conflict with someone in your life? You notice that Jesus doesn't say that we are only to be peacemakers with those who are easy to make peace with. A peacemaker is one who puts themselves into the conflict for the purpose of bringing harmony, resolution to the conflict, to be able to bring glory to God. Are you at conflict with someone right now? What's the Holy Spirit asking you to do? What is He asking you to do? Blessed are the peacemaker, for they will be called children of God. Let's pray. Father, there are days that we don't necessarily like what we hear. Some days we want to be told that we're just wonderful people. And we're holy people because of what you did on the cross for us. We're righteous because of the work that you did on the cross. But because of sin, we have problems. But Lord, you have placed us into this world to be peacemakers, to be that light that goes into a dark area. And you have given us all that we need in Christ to be able to bring harmony and unity, welfare, tranquility, whatever word we're looking at, that we can bring it into a conflict and we can bring Jesus and the light to just blast away the darkness. Lord, as we consider what this means, maybe today some of us are dealing with, do we need to be at peace with you? And Lord, if that is the case today, may our words be, yes, I will. Today, yes, I will enter into that relationship with Jesus. Lord, if it is this conflict with someone else, Lord, may our words be, yes, I will. Lord, yes, I will go and resolve conflict. I will go and bring peace into that. Lord, if it's others that we know, that we love, that are engaged in conflict, may our answer be, yes, I will. Yes, I will go, and I will be that person that will bring truth and light into a hurting relationship. Lord, all of this is for your glory. Help us to say, yes, I will. In Jesus' name, amen.